Massachusetts House Speaker Bob DeLeo refers to the health care legislation as the Peter Cocott Health Care Bill. I'm Carrie Healy, and this is Beacon Hill in 5, our quick look at the week ahead in politics and government in Massachusetts. We're joined now by Matt Murphy with the State House News Service. Thanks for your time, Matt.
Good morning, Carrie.
Late last week, in remarks made to the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce, House Speaker Bob DeLeo talked about the Peter Cocott Health Care Bill. That's in recognition of the contributions of the chairman of the Health Care Financing Committee, who passed away last month. From what DeLeo talked about, are the issues, Matt, that Cocott worked on for so long still in the bill?
Yeah, I mean, from our understanding, Chairman Cocott, before his passing, had been working on this bill for several months and left behind a detailed blueprint of where he was headed with this legislation, and that is what the House is using as their template to finalize this. The Speaker on Friday kind of teased some of the things they are looking at doing. It's likely that this bill will probably be taken up in the next couple of months. The Speaker kind of talked about how they were looking to address some kind of cost containment for out-of-network billing for patients, a protection for consumers who get those kind of high out-of-network bills. So some consumer protections in this bill we know that they're looking for, and, you know, we'll go from there.
Before we move on, does one lawmaker's personal story of harassment that was presented late last week on the House floor make moving the agenda forward more difficult for House Speaker Bob DeLeo?
I mean, it was certainly a fascinating moment last week when Rep. Diana DeSaglio from Methuen told her own personal story as they were debating new policies for dealing with sexual harassment complaints in the House. And her and another long-serving member, the Dean of the House, actually Rep. Scotia of Boston, criticizing the Speaker. I think the big question now that they've dealt with how the House is going to handle these complaints moving forward and how they will use NDA or non-disclosure agreements in cases of sexual harassment has been dealt with, and they put in new policies. There were other questions surfaced by Rep. DeSaglio about dozens of other employees over the past, you know, almost decade who have signed these NDAs, and the Speaker's office says that these were not related to sexual harassment complaints. We don't really know why these employees were terminated or given severance packages, and those questions could continue to surface for the Speaker. Whether or not that impacts moving the agenda forward, I'm not sure. I think largely Democrats are still inclined to follow the Speaker's leadership, and they have their own reasons for wanting to make some progress as they're going to run for re-election and need some issues and achievements this session to run on. So I don't think it'll be a huge impediment.
Well, given that now 8 years of non-disclosure agreements are now free and clear, are we likely to hear more of those stories?
It's a good question. I mean, part of the rules package that they adopted would allow any of these people who signed a non-disclosure and non-disparagement agreements prior to last Thursday to simply make a request to the House and to House counsel that they be let out of those agreements and they would be free to speak. Whether or not that will happen remains to be seen, but there was that provision to basically make it easy for people like Rep. DeSaglio, who signed one of these, to simply get out of these NDAs and share their stories.
So what's likely to be noteworthy this week on Beacon Hill?
Well, the House has wrapped up their budget hearings. They'll be deep in trying to finish and write their own budget. The Speaker last week, in addition to talking about the health care reform bill, spoke to the chamber about his desire to use gaming revenue to invest in early education training for teachers and professionals. We're likely to hear more about that this week when he gives a speech and talks in a panel forum on early education and child care. And the MassBio conference is also coming to town, which could be an opportunity for leaders to kind of take a new look at a life science bill that the governor has filed and would be a continuation of the billion-dollar life science investment that Governor Patrick put in place in 2008, right when he began his first term as governor. So that could take a new look, and it's one of the major pieces that we're expecting to possibly get some action this session, and the bioconvention is a good time to highlight that.
Matt Murphy is a reporter with the State House News Service in Boston. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Thank you.
Beacon Hill in 5, our weekly check-in at the State House, is now a podcast. You can subscribe to it wherever you get your podcasts or at nepr.net/podcast. This is New England Public Radio.